And I think we ought to keep on singing, actually. Because when you keep on singing, when you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts, that's one way to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're talking about today. Pentecost, the Holy Spirit. Let's start out today in Acts chapter 2 with what we read there. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them, to the disciples, tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Today we're celebrating on Pentecost Sunday the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples and upon the church, upon you, that you might also be filled with the Holy Spirit with all boldness and power and strength in your life. What a fabulous thing it is that God has given us His Holy Spirit. You know, I think as Lutherans, we don't talk as much about the Holy Spirit, right? I mean, a lot of times, we're always talking about God the Father. We're talking about Jesus Christ and His work of redemption, and that's right for us to do. But we don't often talk or think or emphasize enough the Holy Spirit. Why not? He's the third person of the Trinity. He's God Himself. He's God's own Spirit. We're living in the age of the Spirit when it's been poured out upon you generously through Jesus Christ, through God the Father. And so today, I'd like to talk with you about what can we know about the Holy Spirit? How can we experience Him more in our lives, be filled with the Spirit? And what do we need to know about this, our invisible friend? Invisible friend to be with you in your life. Well, first thing we know is He's invisible, right? Has anybody seen the Holy Spirit? You can't see Him. Why? Because number one, He's Spirit. And that word in the Greek, pneuma, means Spirit or wind. You can't see wind, you can't see Spirit, so you can't see Him for that reason. But He's not just any Spirit, He's called the Holy Spirit. That word hagios in the Greek, holy, of God, set apart, altogether righteous, pure, perfect, without stain. This is the awesome, great, wonderful Spirit of God and of Christ that we're talking about today. And therefore we can't see Him because He's Spirit, and second of all, because He's holy, because no man shall look on God and live. And this is God's own Spirit. But I want you to know, He is with you nevertheless, though you can't see Him, even here in this very room today. And I want you not to despair because you can't see Him, because guess what? He's been active in your life and in the Bible for all of history. Let's hear how He's been out there for your welfare and your good, even from the very beginning. Check it out here in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Who do we meet in the beginning of the Bible? God the Father is creating all things by His Word. He speaks them into existence. That's Jesus Christ. And who's hovering over the face of the waters? The Spirit of the living God. You meet the Holy Spirit on verse 2 of the Bible. In fact, you meet the whole Trinity right there. And God's been active. The Holy Spirit's been active in creating the world. God created it through His Word by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that power He now wants to put inside of you for your lives. Do you know the Spirit was there in your creation? Thou sendest forth Thy Spirit, and you renew the face of the ground. It says in Psalm 104. And He's with us all the way through our lives. If you look in the Old Testament, we see Him again here in Isaiah 63. It says of the wanderings of Israel in the wilderness, and all their affliction, He was afflicted. And the angel of His presence saved them. In His love and in His pity, He redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and grieved His Holy Spirit. Therefore He turned to be their enemy and Himself fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old of Moses' servant. Where is he who put in the midst of them his Holy Spirit and caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses, who divided the waters before them to make for himself an everlasting name? And I skipped that last line when I closed the line. Who led them through the depths of the Red Sea. Who led them through the Red Sea? The Holy Spirit, who turned back the waters that they might part on either side for the people that cross through. The Holy Spirit, who goes into the waters of holy baptism and washes you and moves them and raises you up as a new person. The Holy Spirit. He's been there in all of your lives, you know that? Though you can't see him. It's your invisible friend. He led those people through the wilderness, and we read in Romans 8 in the New Testament, everyone who's led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. He led them as a pillar of fire in the Old Testament. He leads you today. And you know what one of his chief roles is within your life? To give you power. Now, who doesn't want a little more power in their lives today? I think we all need a little more strength. Amen? That's his chief role. And pouring out into us, one of his chief roles, check out what he does in the Old Testament. Judges 14. Then Samson went down with his father and his mother to Timnah, and he came to the vineyards of Timnah, and behold, a young lion roared against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion asunder as one tears a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. What was the secret of Samson's strength, friends? Was it his long hair? Don't hate me because I'm beautiful, Vidal Sassoon. It wasn't his hair, his long hair. It was the Spirit of the Lord that came mightily upon him that gave him the strength that nobody else had. The Spirit of the living God. And so also with David. Remember, David is one of the youngest. Actually, he is the youngest of Jesse's sons. He's the smallest. He's the most untrained, if you will, probably. Samson went one day, according to God's command, to anoint David the next king. Well, we read here in 1 Samuel 16, verse 12. The Lord said, "Arise and anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Isn't that a beautiful thing? In your baptism, does the Spirit of the Lord come mightily upon you for the rest of your life? How is it that this young boy is able to now go out against a Goliath giant that nobody else can stand up to? And he is able to say to him, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" How can he say this? Except by the Holy Spirit. He goes and stands forth against a giant who's been trained from his youth, who's 1 foot taller than Andre the Giant was, or actually 2 feet taller, big, strong, with a javelin like a weaver's beam. And Goliath says, "Come to me, boy, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field," speaking by the Spirit of the world. David, by the Spirit of God, says to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin, O Goliath, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've defied. And this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel." Wouldn't you love to speak like that in your life? You know, you're facing whatever you're facing. I know you all got some Goliaths and giants out there today. What is your trouble? Wouldn't you love to go up to them and say, "Who is this uncircumcised trouble that it should defy the armies of the living God? This day the Lord will give you into my hand." You know, I wrestle just like you in my life with fears and weaknesses and lacking confidence on certain things. One of the things the Lord revealed to me recently, one of my new life attitudes he really gave me, was to always expect victory from the Lord. And so I can go into these things by the Spirit of God. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. And that's the Spirit in me. It feels great and God has been giving victory. Friends, how could David stand up against Goliath? He wasn't reading Sports Illustrated, going to boot camp, training for war. It was by the Spirit of God that came upon him with all might that he could do these things. How do you receive the Spirit of God? Ask. You receive him in baptism through faith. We receive him more and more through prayer and are filled. Paul says in Ephesians 3, for the saints, he says, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Where do you really need strength in life, friends? Outside? In your physical body? Well, that's good too. But where you really need strength is in the inner man. And what you do is you ask God, and he strengthens you by his Spirit in the inner man. If you who are evil, Jesus says, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Will you ask him today, friends? That's how you get filled with him. You receive him in baptism, and notice this. The Spirit came mightily upon David. Say upon with me. In the days of the Old Testament. But in the days of the New Testament, our days, the Spirit comes mightily into. Say into.
Into.
The lives of believers. Inside of us, as we'll talk more in a minute. And why? To give you strength. Who doesn't want more strength in their life? Who doesn't need more power? I'll tell you, you don't need Cosmopolitan or 17 magazine or anything else about how you are going to somehow psychologically get better. Although that may or there may be some help in some of those things. What you need is the Spirit. If you want power, you need the Holy Spirit, and he's there for the asking, Jesus says. God is itching to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And do you know that the Holy Spirit, one of his chief jobs is to put into your hands a sword? The sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, Paul says, the Word of God. Who wrote this book? God the Father, of course, is in it. Jesus Christ gave us his words. But the Scriptures teach the Holy Spirit wrote this book. And he put it into your hands. Let me show you that. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter's writing, and he says, first of all, above all things, you must understand this, that Scripture, no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by the impulse or will of man, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. And the author of Hebrews says, as the Holy Spirit says, in quoting Scripture. Anytime you open this book and you read it, you can say, as the Holy Spirit says. The Holy Spirit is here to strengthen you, friends. And one way he does that is through giving you his own sword, the Word of God. He inspired these. He wrote that book. What a great friend he is to you. What a great invisible friend he is to give you something by which you might grow in the knowledge of the truth. As a people who are complete, equipped for every good work, well-trained, well-armed, for everything that life throws at you. That's the Holy Spirit's work, to strengthen you and to love you, O people of God. How great is your friend? Do you know what a great friend he was to our other friend, Jesus Christ, who is the second person of the Trinity, God the Son? Think about the Holy Spirit's work in Jesus' life. And how it would have been devoid apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit always work together. Remember Jesus' birth, what happened there? Angel Gabriel, great and mighty, sent to Mary and says, you're going to have a son. You'll call his name Jesus. Mary says, how's this going to happen? I don't have a husband. Never seen that before. How's it going to happen? The angel says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the power of the Most High. The what? Power of the Most High will overshadow you. That's the Holy Spirit. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Power is always mixed in with the Holy Spirit. Whenever you're talking power, it's the Spirit. He put Jesus into the womb of the Virgin Mary. She never knew a man, and Jesus was born. He was there at Jesus' baptism. Jesus was baptized, went up from the water. Behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit descending as a dove, and it alighted upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven, "This is my Son with whom I'm well pleased." Who said that? God the Father is speaking, his Son's in the water, and down comes the dove, the Holy Spirit, to do what? Give him power. Because he says the Spirit immediately led Jesus into the wilderness. Is the Holy Spirit lead you? Is that his job in your life, to lead you through your life? Even though you can't see this invisible friend, to guide you, to cause you to know the way to walk? He led this Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Jesus conquered. And on the way out, it says in Luke 4, Jesus returned from the wilderness in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. Say power, would you?
Power.
That's what God's given you today when he gives you the Holy Spirit, his own Spirit. We read in Matthew 12, the Pharisees one day challenged Jesus. "You're casting out demons? You're casting those out by Beelzebul, the prince of demons. You're evil," say the Pharisees. Jesus answers, "If I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." How did Jesus do this? How did he cast out demons? He spoke the word with authority, like we talked about last week. But he did it by the Spirit of God and the power of the Spirit. Out they came because they cannot withstand the power and might of God's Spirit, which was with Jesus. You know, if you picture yourselves, just weird, I know, but like an airplane, okay? You are a perfect airplane jet sitting on the runway, but there's no jet attached. The Holy Spirit is the jet engine, if you will, to a certain degree, that comes into your life and is attached to you, that allows you to take off with a great roar and strength. And again, how do you do that? You receive him in baptism, you receive him by faith, and then you need to ask to be filled. As the apostles, even on the day of Pentecost, they had the Holy Spirit. Guess what happens a few days later? They're being threatened. They're being bullied. They're being intimidated. And they get afraid. They pray. And what do we hear? At their prayer, the Holy Spirit fills them again, and they go out with all boldness. What do you need in your life? The Holy Spirit. And you get them by the asking. God wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit. And also by music. "Do not get drunk with wine," Paul says, for that's debauchery, "but be filled with the Holy Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody to the Lord with all your heart." You know, the music that we listen to, there's the spirit of the world and there's the spirit of God. A lot of the music we listen to day in and day out, and the devil knows this, he knows how powerful music is. He puts all his words into these catchy little phrases. Pretty soon you got the spirit of the world in your minds, right? What God wants is for you to have the Spirit of God singing psalms, hymns, spirituals, whatever lifts up God. And that puts the Holy Spirit, helps you to be filled with him. Do you know that the Holy Spirit was there at Jesus' cross? Hebrews 9 says, "Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without blemish to God." The Holy Spirit gave him the power to do so. We read in Romans chapter 8 concerning the resurrection of Christ. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, who's that? The Holy Spirit. Of course, Jesus raised himself and God the Father did too. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit which dwells in you. Do you have the Holy Spirit today? Have you been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you seek to follow him to the best of your ability with God's help and the Holy Spirit to follow him? You know, can you say Jesus is Lord?
Jesus is Lord.
He's my King.
He's my King.
He's the one and only Savior of the world.
He's the one and only Savior of the world.
You can't say that except by the Spirit that's within you. And if that Spirit dwells in you, Paul says, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, he's going to do something marvelous for you. He's going to raise your bodies up at the last day in the same way that he raised Jesus' body up, because his Spirit dwells inside of you. That's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Do you know that God's design and plan for all time has always been to put his own Spirit inside of you? Look at this prophecy. It's quoted in Acts, but it's from Joel. I will pour out my Spirit on all people. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Listen to what God says in Ezekiel in the Old Testament days. Verse 26. It's right over here. A new heart. Oh, well, let's go over the line before. Why not? I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness. What do you think about that? Baptism? And from all your idols I'll cleanse you. A new heart I will give you. A new spirit I will put within you. Within. And I will take out of your flesh the heart of stone, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my Spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my ways and to observe my ordinances. You shall dwell in the land, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Say, my Spirit.
My Spirit.
God says, I will put my Spirit into you. Not the spirit of the world, not just some angel, not your own cosmopolitan or, you know, Glenn Beck or whatever spirit. You want the Spirit of the living God. God says, my Spirit I will put within you. Jesus said, I'll pray the Father. He'll give you another counselor to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you, he said to the disciples. With Old Testament, in New Testament. To give you strength. What an invisible friend you have. How could the Holy Spirit come into me, you ask? Jesus says this in John chapter 7. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and proclaimed, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, which those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. All right? Say, not yet glorified.
Not yet glorified.
The Spirit can't come until Jesus is glorified. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is a king. He is the holy God, the Spirit of the living God. He can't come and live inside of a heart that's covered with the filth of sin, right? You can't expect a king to come over and live in a dump. You can't invite Queen Victoria over and invite her to live in a sewage, in a sewer. Well, you can't have the Holy Spirit live in a heart that's covered in sin. But the Holy Spirit will be given when Jesus is glorified, when he dies on the cross for your sins, to atone for them, and then to be raised from the dead. And then we hear in Joel, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. In baptism, Ephesians chapter 5, Jesus cleanses by the washing of water with the word, just like we read in Ezekiel there a moment ago. And by faith in him, you have your sins covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. You believing on Jesus Christ are now a fit home for the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of you. You know you are called a temple in the Bible? What's a temple? A temple is a place where God dwells. That's the definition. You're the temple. Who dwells in you? God, the Holy Spirit, and the Father, and the Son, by the way. You know him, Jesus says, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. What an invisible friend God's given you, his own Spirit. He preaches Christ's word to you. And to Cornelius, Peter preached to him, to Jesus, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in Jesus receives the forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still saying this, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. How does he come into you? The word of God, the Holy Spirit's word is preached. Jesus Christ is preached. You believe in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit comes in baptism. Truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit. All right, say water and the Spirit. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he can't enter the kingdom of God. And Peter said at Pentecost, be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Remember again, you receive him, how are you going to get filled? Singing psalms and hymns and praise, sing music of praise, and also asking as the Holy Spirit. The apostles were frightened again and threatened. When they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with all boldness. So what's the Holy Spirit, your friend, going to do in you today? And what's he doing in you through your life? This invisible friend, your friend. Jesus says, I'll pray the Father. He'll give you another counselor to be with you forever. The word for counselor? Parakletos in the Greek. I won't have you say that one. Has a lot of meanings. Counsel, to lead, to protect, to defend. It means one who comes alongside of you, who stands for you, who advocates for you, who intercedes for you, one to lead you to a deeper knowledge of the divine truth, to take Christ's word and then imprint it and apply it on your heart and your life and your mind so you become like Jesus, to make you to endure, to cause you to triumph, to make you more than a conqueror, to empower your life with strength, and finally to bring you to final salvation. God doesn't just bring you to birth in baptism and through faith. He now gives you someone, his own Spirit, to walk with you and to make sure. He says, this is my child, Spirit. Make sure that you get him all the way home. Yes, sir. Well, he's his own, God's own Spirit, but that's a way of speaking. When the Spirit of truth comes, Jesus says, he'll guide you into all the truth. For he'll glorify me, he'll take what is mine and declare it to you. Everything the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said, he'll take what is mine and declare it to you. God gave everything he had to Jesus. The Holy Spirit's job is to take everything God gave to Jesus and now give it to you. And he does that by his Spirit. So I say, I struggle against sin. Well, the Holy Spirit makes me endure and keeps me going. When I'm down and depressed, the Holy Spirit encourages me, saying, remember, the Lord's near to the brokenhearted. He saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. When I'm afraid, he comforts me. I am he that comforts you. Who are you that you are afraid of a man who dies and have forgotten your maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth? Be encouraged. When I'm lost, he counsels me. I love this. Though the Lord give you the bread of adversity, the water of affliction, yet your teacher won't hide himself anymore. But your eyes will see your teacher. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. When you turn to the right or to the left. Do you ever hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you? You know, maybe we're not so Pentecostal. I was thinking putting a sign out there, you know, Pentecostal Sunday, all Pentecostals welcome, you know. Maybe we could get some more people, but David says, I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. You know, when you lie in your bed tonight, maybe let the Holy Spirit speak to you in your mind and let him take the words of Christ, of his grace, and apply them to you. Because that's his job, and you need words of grace in your life to empower you. Listen to him. When I minister, he gives me gifts. When I need wisdom, he gives them generously and without reproach. When I speak, he empowers me. When I pray, he intercedes for me with signs too deep for words. When I walk, he leads me. When I stray and wander, he corrects me. When I feel shame over my sins, he points me to Christ who's taken all my sins away. When I wonder if I'll ever make it to heaven, he assures me Ephesians 1:13, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, which is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. And for me, best of all, he says, I'll never leave your side. Jesus says, I'll give you a counselor to be with you forever. Therefore, Paul could say, at my first offense, no one took my part. All deserted me. May it not be charged against them, but the Lord stood by me. He gave me strength so that I might proclaim the word fully, that all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth, and the Lord will rescue me from every evil and save me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Yes, to him be all the glory forever. So if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you know what to do. If you then, who are evil, says Jesus, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? In Jesus' name, amen.